Don't panic. For the next hour, let Steve and Paul talk you down from that ledge, right here on RFI. They're the host who won't cop out when there's panic all about.
You can be doing anything with that dead Asian hooker, because I could really go for a pastrami on rye right now.
They say the devil's in the details. I know what they mean. I'm walking in the wasteland with a ghost in the machine. There's a simulated sunset and starlight in my eyes. The skies are filled with miracles, and half of them are lying. Are you real or not? It's a fine line. Are you ready or not for the light of day? Are you real or not? These are strange times, and I don't want to live this way.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Vinson. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, how you doing?
Nothing you're about to hear is true.
That's right.
The excitement is building for the rough draft premiere.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I mean, I've been waiting. I mean, for me to say I can't wait really is pretty dishonest, because I have the episode. Mm-hmm. I just need to post it somewhere and tell our listeners. But you know, the excitement's building. We're building some hype here. Mm-hmm. My wife, as she was walking out the door to her billiards league tonight.
I'm glad you clarified that.
She was walking out. I'm leaving. Okay.
As your story turned into a Charlie Rich song.
Like, yeah. You see her walking out the door. I mentioned to her that we were, she said, have a good show tonight. Said, we will. Mm-hmm. And I said, she said, I'm kind of behind. She said, I haven't even listened to this week's yet. And I said, well, you're going to fall further behind, because I'm getting ready to post our new podcast, Rough Draft. And she looks at me funny. She goes, you're what? And I was like, yeah. She's like, oh. I said, well, I guess I haven't done good enough publicity, and not enough of our listeners know about it. She goes, maybe you should tell your wife, too. I was like, I'll tell you tonight. How's that? I'll tell you on tonight's show.
Surprise.
Sweetie. I just wanted to let you know that my friend Paul and I are going to have another little podcast. You know, that thing we like to do together? And it's called Rough Draft. And we talk about writing and the writing process, creating, mm-hmm. and the creation process. We read our own stuff, fiction mostly.
mostly fiction.
We also interview writers, and they read their stuff if we are so lucky and fortunate to have them do that. So we've already finished the first episode. The production is complete, and it's ready to go on air. And I'm going to make that happen this week. We're recording our second episode real soon. There you go. That's what it is. I don't know what else I can tell you. Sorry I didn't tell you sooner or louder.
It wasn't a secret. It was a surprise.
Yes. Whose underwear are these? Not a secret. It's a surprise. And they're Paul's.
That's right. I'm into that kind of thing. Yeah. Why do they have studs on the inside? Well, he's weird.
I just want to say I'm sorry that I didn't tell you sooner. And if I did tell you sooner, and I'm not saying I did, but if I did last week, Tuesday, when I got home from work, I'm not saying I did, but if I did, I'm sorry I didn't say it louder or in a more interesting way. That having been said, we're going to interview a gentleman by the name of Andy Wright this Saturday. And by interview, I mean we're going to have a conversation.
Right.
And I already had the pleasure of listening to the prologue to his book, which I think he's going to read for us if we're lucky enough.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I thought it was great.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
If you like parallel universe kind of stuff, you'll like it too. How do you know Andy?
I know Andy through a mutual friend. A couple of years ago, we were doing this fan fiction thing on the interweb, and he was one of the writers that a friend of mine had roped into writing stories for this thing, and that's how I met him. You know, we comment on each other's stuff, and then over the course of the past couple of years, he's been cool enough to help me do some research on various projects I've been working on, and he's also an artist as well, so he's kind of got all things covered.
Yeah, I like his stuff. Have you read other stuff?
Well, I read his fan fiction, because he was writing stuff about like the X-Men, and that was among some of the best stuff that was on the website. And I have his book, the name of which escapes me, because I bought it and lost it in a box full of a whole bunch of other books. So I only got two or three chapters into it, and then I lost his book. So I'm going to try to find it and read it.
Hmm. Have you met him in person?
No, not in person. No, we've just chatted. Yeah.
He has a nice voice, too.
Yeah. I think he's going to go somewhere with that voice.
Well, I don't know why. Okay, so the prologue, obviously, it's an alternate universe, alternate reality. I don't know if it's another dimension kind of thing, or if it's just a virtual world created by scientists or what. But it reminded me of a book I read recently, and by recently I mean sometime in the past couple of years, by Liu Cixin.
God bless you.
Yeah, thank you. Chinese writer, won the Hugo Award in 2015 for The Three Body Problem, which was a book published in 2007, translated to English, ended up winning the Hugo Award. But it was... The concepts were great, and most of the book was really good. There were parts of it that were just a little dry, but most of it was tremendous. And it's an alternate world kind of thing for people that are into that. And then Andy's prologue reminded me of that book. So I may ask him. I may send him a message ahead of time so I don't catch him off guard, but I may ask him if he's read that just to see, you know. I doubt he was influenced by it because it's pretty recent, but just to see if he's a fan.
Why would you not want to catch him off guard? I've already warned him about you, and he listens to the show. So
I think I probably caught him off guard when I told him under what conditions I give out my email address. If it's going to be this kind of Facebook message, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potatoes. That will forever be our signature. That and all bullshit. So that'll be fun. Mm. We're going to do that this weekend. And by the time I get around to publishing it, it'll be, who knows? It might be January for all I know. All
right.
But it'll be great and interesting. And if you want to read more of Andy's stuff, well, you got to keep following us and head on over to the Rough Draft Facebook page.
And what's that Facebook page?
It's a Rough Draft Show. And I need to put that link up on our Don't Panic Facebook page. I'll do that. So if you forget Rough Draft Show, then just head on over to Don't Panic, Don't You Dare Panic on Facebook, and there'll be a link there. That having been said, I thought we would provide a service this week for our listeners. Sort of to make up for last week, because last week's show, let's admit, it was entertaining, but it really did not have a common thread. It didn't add anything to anything.
Last week's show was the equivalent of that one kid on a field trip. that it just goes everywhere.
I like pretzels. The MP said it best. MP. MP eggnog latte. What is he this season?
Peppermint latte, probably.
Peppermint mocha?
Sure, peppermint mocha.
MP peppermint mocha, which is MPPM, if you're keeping track, said it best. It was a moral abomination. So
I'm still curious as to how his rating system works.
it goes from moral abomination on the low end to fucking racist on the high end, I think that's how it goes. So the service I'd like to provide this week is a little break. This is the holiday season. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to all, it's supposed to be a happy occasion. Mm-hmm. Let's not bicker and argue over who voted for who.
Right.
Right. Or who didn't vote for who, or who didn't even exist and still voted for who, right?
Or who voted for who and gave the other person the vote.
Right, right. Or who voted for who and therefore is a horrible person.
That's right.
Let's take a little break during this holiday season, and let's be our listener's source for non-political news and information.
I think I can do that.
In other words, it's time for the news. Hey, Steve.
Yes?
What's the secret word this week?
The secret word is Trump.
All right. Everybody knows how this works. For those of you who haven't seen this before, whoever says the word Trump has to chug their drink. And if they want to chug their drink, they have to not chug their drink. That's how this works. That's the thing about drinking games. It's like, I want to drink. Why? We're here to drink at this party. Why is the penalty for losing to do the thing I came here to do?
See, drinking games are like games that like your four-year-old makes up as they go along. You know?
Right.
Now, whoever goes over here, then they got to go over there. But what if I go over there? Well, all right, well, now what you have to do, and they come up with the most elaborate on-the-spot, you know, mm-hmm. rules for these
games. And if you lose, you get an extra scoop of ice cream. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, our first headline. Yahoo has experienced another data breach. Mm. As many as 1 billion users' data has been breached. And Yahoo is letting us know this in a very, you know, whenever horrible things happen, they'll tell you the most important thing to do, get the information out there quickly, as bad as it is, mm-hmm. it's better to get it out there, let people know, even before you have all the information, just get the information out there, right? So this breach apparently occurred in 2013.
The timing is everything.
Timing is everything. And so that's a billion, 1 billion with a B.
I wasn't aware that many people still used Yahoo.
Well, in 2013.
Unless they breached a whole bunch of like email addresses people don't use anymore because they've moved on to other servers and other, you know.
Oh my God.
Tons and tons of dick pics and just, you name it.
What if they got 18-year-old blonde Lacey at yahoo.com that I used to use? I mean...
That is interesting. I bet. Okay, so a billion. I'm betting 75% of those were dummy accounts set up so that husbands could like do stuff and their wives wouldn't find out.
I don't know about 75%. That's pretty high, but I'll bet at least 750 million of them. I would bet that.
Oh, okay. All right. I like your number a little bit better.
Or at least 750 million. I don't know. Let's just say that.
All right.
I don't know if this is on top of the earlier this year, Yahoo announced 500 million user accounts were compromised. I don't know if that is if that's like on top of the billion. Are we up to 1.5 billion now? Or?
Well, when they made that announcement, what year were they referring to?
2014 was the 500 million.
Oh, okay.
Breitbart has said that there have now been more Yahoo accounts compromised than there are people on Earth.
That's because there's multiple people have multiple accounts. Hell, I've got 4 or 5 Gmail accounts set up for different things. So, and this was Yahoo we're talking about, which was like the biggest one there was back in 2012, probably.
So I'm wondering, though, 1.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. Like when you hear about banks mm-hmm. being breached or whatever, it's like 3 million users have had their whatever. There are mm-hmm. Ashley Madison. There was like 2 million dudes who were trying to cheat on their wives. Had their, remember that one?
Yeah.
Ashley Madison?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about Ashley Madison on the show before, I think.
Yeah.
And then I brought up Adult Friend Finder, which was...
Yeah.
And then we had a whole show on that. For those of you who are just tuning in, yes, Paul and I knew the guy that founded Ashley Madison. Not Ashley Madison, Adult Friend Finder. And his first mm-hmm. prototype was in high school.
Yeah.
On 3x5 cards.
we were his beta testers.
Shouldn't we get paid?
You know, we could. Well, we actually paid him. That was the worst part about it. Smart. We paid that motherfucker.
That's just smart, man. That's just smart right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering what in the hell is Yahoo storing their secret data on? I mean, it's 1 billion. It's not like, oh, we had an intrusion and. Because of the sophisticated segregation of the firewalls and the encrypted server farm in the multiple data center, only 2 million were... 2 million is way too many. I didn't mean to say only. 2 million is a lot. That's 2 million with an M. But since we have a super segregated, our 2 billion users weren't... several billion were not affected. No. They're like, oops. We left the door open for a minute. Next thing you know, 1 billion. Yeah. I mean, what are they? It's like they're fucking storing their shit on the Democrats' email servers or something.
What I don't understand is, do banks use Yahoo? Do like politicians use Yahoo?
Probably.
I mean,
Hillary Clinton uses Yahoo.
Okay. Well, then that probably accounts for half of them.
That's half. She had 500 million user accounts. What difference does it make? Oh, wait, we said no politics.
I was just curious. I mean, what the world hasn't stopped turning, so something, what could possibly, I mean, yeah, I've had my email accounts hacked before. You know, I just set up a new one and kept on going. It's like, well, if you want to see pictures of my kids or whatever, fine. But, you know, out of that 1 billion people, probably 3% of them were important people.
In general, on the face of the earth. That's
yeah.
probably a pretty good statistic.
I'm just saying. Yeah, in general, 3% of the population is important.
I was thinking if they really want to keep their data secure, they should use 5.25-inch floppy drives.
Well, I was thinking if Yahoo wanted to keep their data secure, they should go through Gmail.
Now, that would be funny.
But it doesn't surprise me because, I mean, God, I lost in probably 3 years' time. I probably had half a dozen email accounts that were hacked or phished or whatever they call it. So that doesn't surprise. So out of that 1 billion, 6 of them are mine. I'm convinced of it.
Well, who knows? I mean, it's some dude in Russia in his mom's basement.
It's always some little dude in some little basement.
He's like, in Russia, when you say I live in mom's basement, that's true. I live with my 8 other brothers and sisters as well. And my mom's basement is called my mom's apartment. But I don't know what a 5¼-inch floppy drive is. I don't know how to read those. So you store your data on those. I'd be fine.
And we probably have the metric system anyway, so.
That's right. 5¼-inch. What is this? How many centimeters is that?
A lot.
Hey, speaking of Russia, did you hear that Kanye visited Trump Tower this week? Ding, 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 ding. He said the secret word. Now, hold on a second. I didn't say it in a political context.
That's right.
Trump Tower. Ding, ding, ding. He said it again. Trump Tower is a location. It's the name of a building in New York City. You cannot pin this one on me because we all know the intent of the secret word was the person who has been elected president of the United States and not the name that are on his properties. Now, come on.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Judges, what do you say? We don't give a fuck, so let's just move on.
All right.
Sorry.
Fine. So anyway, did you see that? Did you see Kanye? Kanye looked like a damn, you know, those POW photo ops that they do when they're like, I am being treated very well. And these are good people that we should not be attacking. That's what he looked like to me. He was like, he was the whitest black dude I've ever seen. He was smile.
I have missed that.
You didn't see that?
I usually stay on top of my Kanye.
Oh, man. Events. You got to check out the video because Kanye goes to Trump Tower, right? And he goes up and he meets with Trump for 15 minutes ding, ding, or whatever. Oh, man, I'm going to be drunk by the time the show's over. So they come back down to the lobby where all the press is, right? They're standing there together. They're not saying anything. Somebody asks something, and I don't know what they asked, but Trump goes, ding, 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 ding. No, Trump goes, we've been friends. We've been friends a long time. For a long time, we've been friends a long time. And I think it was kind of like, why is he here, right? And
yeah.
They're asking Kanye questions. Kanye's like, I'm just here for the photo op. I'm just here for you so y'all can take our picture. He was like the guy that said, I'm just here so I won't get fined. Beast mode, Seattle Seahawks running back.
Oh, Marshawn Lynch?
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I know my football.
That's it. How's that work?
In what reality did that just happen?
You'll never cease to surprise me. Anyway, he's standing there like, oh, I'm just here for the pictures. And then I'm looking at it, and then Trump does one of these things that white dudes do all the time, right? But I don't think black dudes do this because he had his arm around. He put his arm around Kanye. He like pulls him in close. And I think a white dude would be expecting that, right? Mm-hmm. And it'd be like your hand would come over and you'd slap your buddy on the chest or, you know, it'd be this kind of like, oh, we're hugging like bros, right? But Kanye's just kind of like, what? He kind of gets like sort of drug over like he's like, what the fuck? You know, and then he kind of smiles like a weird little smile. And then they kind of disengage. And then Kanye does one of these like, you know, brother handshakes, you know, with the
multiple
with the
steps
way that the thumb comes up like this. And then you do the chest bump and Trump is like, and it's just really, you got to see the video. To me, it was hilarious. It was like the whitest douchebag on the planet meets the blackest douchebag on the planet. And they get together and somehow they didn't like create an anomaly in the space time continuum. I don't know how, but it's pretty funny. So
that's messed up. I think maybe Kanye was just there to see if he could get him to change the name of the place to Beyonce Tower.
All right, Donnie, I'm gonna let you finish your first term, but let me just say, I'm gonna let you finish your first presidency, but
a big bottle of Cristal in his hand.
And Taylor Swift's running behind him going, I'm a strong woman.
That's right.
I'm a strong woman. So that, how many drinks did I just, chugged a whole bunch because I said that word a lot.
The T word. The T word used to be thug.
True. We had that whole episode, didn't we?
Yeah.
We're coming up on our 100th episode and we're getting a little nostalgic over here.
Mm-hmm. I spent the day listening to the early episodes.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry.
Yeah. About episode 5 was when we got funny.
We were trying so hard.
Episode 5 is also the episode.
Now I got to go look it up.
You're talking and you're like, you're pouring it all out there. And I'm like, because
I told you that bitch was crazy.
But anyway, I was hoping to find like something to swipe from an early episode to play, but now the less said about those episodes, the better.
Change the channel, Marge. All right. Well, I got one more story before the break.
Okay.
And then we're going to have to figure out how to fill up the second half. Amazon made its first commercial drone delivery today.
Hmm.
Somewhere in the countryside of England, Great Britain, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We all think of it as England, right? Anyway, so they delivered a Fire TV device. I don't know if it was, no word on whether it was jailbroken or not.
Hmm.
And a bag of popcorn 13 minutes after it was ordered. So Amazon has been working on this for years, and there's regulatory hurdles, technical hurdles, probably business model hurdles, because, you know, how much does it cost to run these things? But that, my friend, is the future. Anything that you have to wait more than 30 minutes for is going to be something you just don't really need. You know, because you're just going to order it and Amazon will be first, obviously. Mm-hmm. They'll make the most money, but everybody else, next thing you know, you'll go outside and there'll be just like a thousand drones flying overhead delivering shit to people.
It'll look like mosquito season, you know.
Yeah.
So many drones buzzing around,
which is awesome for a few reasons. One, like I said, anything that you order and have delivered to you, while you might say, well, I can wait 2 days for that, 3 days, whatever, it doesn't matter. I just ordered it. Whenever it gets here. If somebody said, what if you could have it in the next 30 minutes? You'd be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, why not? Right? So that's going to be awesome because you go, shit, my printer just ran out of ink. Tippy, tippy, tick, 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 tick. That's my keyboard sound. And
I thought you were just doing like a Bill Cosby impression.
Good compete. Here you get to buy your Amazon and the website. Over there you get the roofies and the drink.
Roofies in 30 minutes or they're free.
So let it be known. Let it be said, recorded on cellulite or digital media, floppy, whatever we're recording on. That I said, this is the future of how we get shit. All right.
Mm.
I predicted the iPhone. No, I didn't predict the iPhone. Yeah, I did. I predicted the iPhone. And then 15 years later, Steve Jobs invented the iPhone.
Hot on your heels.
Hot on my heels.
Prediction.
And when I saw it, I said, this is it. This is what I predicted. And this is the future of phones. And it is. And 10 years later, here we are. So, I am saying right now that this is how people will get shit in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until somebody invents the fucking make everything device that you just, you know, you put shit in and then it makes the thing that you want because you just download the instructions to the machine.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a microwave. I'm like, we already have those.
Yeah, we have those. No, not cook anything.
Oh, okay.
Make anything. device. Sort of like a 3D printer, only like millions of times better. Like, you just put dirt, air, and water in it, and it makes a computer or broccoli casserole.
Do you know how many, like, dead Asian hooker clones we're going to be finding in dumpsters when that happens?
Who gives a shit? They weren't really alive in the first place. Everybody knows.
I'm just saying they're going to be everywhere.
Clones don't have a soul, so... Well, they don't have to be in dumpsters. No. You grind that shit up, you feed it back in the machine, make another live Asian hooker, or pastrami on rye. Whatever. It's all the same atoms, right? Atoms don't care what molecule they're in. Neutrons don't care what atom they're in. Anyway, I predicted this machine 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I called it the Make Anything device. And I said, you should be able just to feed in the raw materials and have this device make anything you need. 15 years ago, I predicted it, right? So now we have Amazon with the drones, which I consider an interim measure. 30 minutes is going to be too long. Having to have a drone fly to you is going to be too long. We're going to want shit right the fuck now. And I want to be on top of Mount Everest and dial up a Italian BMT Deluxe on Italian herbs and cheese bread with banana peppers, oregano, tomatoes, and vinegar and oil, salt and pepper, and harvest chips. I only ever get harvest chips when I'm at Subway. I really don't like them anywhere else. When I'm at Subway, I get the harvest chips. When I'm at the top of Mount Everest, I'm going to take my little Make Anything machine with me. I'm going to scoop up a little bit of snow, maybe one of those old oxygen bottles that they leave on the side there, and maybe Tenzing Norgay's big toe. I'm going to feed it into the machine. I'm going to get me an Italian BMT on Italian herbs and cheese. I'm just telling you, I'm predicting the future right here. You can listen or not listen. You can take the advice and invest your money appropriately. Future success is not a predictor of past performance. These are forward-looking statements.
You know you're not at work, right? You know that, right?
Yeah, but I just got threatened with a lawsuit in my personal life, so I'm playing it a little cautious.
Oh, okay.
I hereby disclose everything that's ever happened in my life to anyone I've ever known and anyone they ever knew. Anyway, so that's, I don't know, I can't read a headline like Amazon made its first drone delivery without my freak brain going all those other places.
I don't know whether I want an Asian hooker or a pastrami sandwich right now.
There was an escape from the off-world colonies 2 weeks ago. 6 replicants, 3 male, 3 female.
I need you, Dex. This is a bad one. The worst yet. I need the old Blade Runner.
It seems you feel our work is not a benefit to the public.
Replicants are like any other machine. They're either a benefit or a hazard. If they're a benefit, it's not my problem.
They were designed to copy human beings in every way except their emotions. The designers reckoned that after a few years, they might develop their own emotional responses. So they built in a fail-safe device.
Which is what?
For your lifespan.
That seems to be the problem.
I want more life, Father.
Have you ever retired a human by mistake?
Capillary dilation of the so-called flush response. Fluctuation of the pupil. Involuntary dilation of the iris.
We call it void comp.
Is this testing whether I'm a replicant or a lesbian, Mr. Decker?
If only you could see what I've seen with your eyes.
What if I go north? Disappear? Would
you come after me?
Sector in the vortex of the night, past the shiny Mylar towers, past the ravaged tenements, to a place we can't remember, for a time we won't forget. Here's the hum of desperation, here's the test tube mating call, here's the latest carbon cycle, here's the clergy of the mall, here's the song of sheer and torsion, here's the bloodbath magazine, here's the heart of contusions, here's the narcoleptic dream.
Somebody's going to be listening to this recording in 2422, and they'll be like, wow, why did those guys are prophetic. Did they have these machines back then? No, they didn't even, they weren't even thought of yet. Wow. We'll be like the you know how Leonardo da Vinci drew pictures of helicopters back in the back in the day, right? Back like in the medieval times or whatever. We'll be like, wow, how could they? Well, they probably looked at a dragonfly and figured, why can't we make that?
Right.
We'll be like, one day I was watching a tree rot.
a tree that had fallen over, and I was watching it rot. And I saw some mushrooms growing on it. I thought, that was a tree. It died. It's becoming mushrooms. Why can't we do that with Asian hookers and hot pastrami sandwiches? If a tree can turn into a mushroom, why can't an Asian hooker turn into a hot pastrami sandwich?
It's when you're meditating. It's the
So we got to figure out what we're going to do for the second half of this monstrosity. I planned out the first half. What's your plan for the second half?
Oh, we're not back from commercial?
We are currently recording our 99th episode. When we started this, I thought if we get to 50, I'll be pretty goddamn happy. Not that I didn't think we would, but just thinking like, all the other things I start in my life, I usually don't last. Except for my marriage and my kids. They're still here.
Well, it was sketchy in the beginning of this episode whether your marriage was still there.
That's true, but I did apologize, I think I apologized. I'm getting pretty good at apologizing. Speaking of which, and this is completely off topic, welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. Nothing you're about to hear is true. And I got myself in a bit of trouble Friday night.
What'd you do now?
This will illustrate, and I'll remind, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you, and I'll tell you what I told you.
Okay.
This is going to illustrate exactly what I was talking about a few weeks ago about why I've tried to improve my presence on Facebook and not talk or debate politics in a way that like goes for the throat. Like stop trying to win arguments, right?
Right.
Well, Friday night, I stopped drinking at a certain point. I had been drinking. I stopped drinking. But then I got tired. And, you know, you combine drinking with tired. And I was trying to be funny, but I was also trying to win an argument. And there was one of these threads where I knew that a good friend of mine is a lawyer. I love him to death. Good guy. I don't see him as often as I would like, but I know him. I know who he is. I know to his core, he's a moral, ethical person, right? Uh-huh. But he's a lawyer, right? And so you can't not go after the fact that somebody's a lawyer when you're having an argument, right?
Right.
Especially when they bring up like ethics and morality. Then you got, I had to go, wow, it's great to be lectured about ethics and morality and greed by lawyers. And, of course, tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but much truth is said in jest, right?
Yes, yes.
I don't think that about that guy in particular. Huh. But considering... that I may be sued by a lawyer who has hired a lawyer. I'm not feeling too good about lawyers lately. And so there may have been a tinge of seriousness in there too. I don't know. All I do know is I woke up Saturday late because even though I didn't get drunk, I wasn't hungover. I fell asleep on the sofa because I... just, you know, you go past that point of no return. If you don't go to bed at a certain point, you get so tired, you just fall over, right? But anyway, yeah. I get up, I see a Facebook message. Not even a reply to my comment, but a message. And you know when somebody sends you a message, it's serious.
Yeah.
And he wrote me a long note that, was just like, what did I say that warranted you questioning my ethics or my accusing me of being greedy, blah, blah, blah. It so happens that this friend of mine helped us out with a situation a year or two ago and never charged us. And I asked him to charge us. I was like, please bill me. He's like, no, we're friends. I'm just giving you some advice. And he brought that up and he's like, I would never have asked you for money. And he's like, nor do I, would I ever want any money from you. But he's like, how did me doing that not tell you how generous I am and not greedy and blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And like, I just wanted to shoot myself. It's like every single word he has written is correct. I'm an asshole. And I was just, and this is the exact thing I was talking about a couple weeks ago that I had stopped doing. For some reason, I did it again, and I wrote an exquisite apology. As a service to our listeners, I want to give the components. An apology is not so much an act as it is. It's sort of like if you were to write a symphony, and somebody goes, "Oh, that's cool. What'd you do? You sat down at your desk and you wrote a symphony?" No. A symphony is composed of components that you that you build at certain points in your life. And you can't compose that symphony unless you've lived that life. And then you put all the parts together in the exact right order with the exact right tone and the transitions and everything have to be perfect to make a masterpiece symphony.
Or a pastrami sandwich.
That's the apology I put together, man. And it was from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the heart. I don't want our listeners to think that I constructed an apology from Legos or Silly Putty or a dead Asian hooker. It was from the heart. So here are the things that tell you an apology is genuine. It starts with the words, "I'm sorry." You never start an apology with any words other than "I'm sorry." All right. That's just, that's how it works. Right. And then you talk about how you were wrong. Like, you don't have to know why you were wrong. You just have to say, "I was wrong. I have no idea what came of me." You don't have to explain it. You don't have to have an excuse. You don't have to say, "Well, I was drunk," or "I was tired," or "I misunderstood you," or "what you said made me blah, blah, blah." No, you just say, "Clearly it was wrong. I don't think those things about you. I don't know why I said it." That's component number two. No excuses. Apology. Component number three is, here's my commitment to not do it again. Because if I tell you I'm sorry and then I do that shit again, the "I'm sorry" doesn't count. Simone has told me a bunch of riddles this week.
Yeah.
They're all based on the same riddle.
That's a riddle in and of itself.
Which I love. I mean, I love that she's making up new riddles based on riddles, you know, that I've told her. So we did this one in the car with the "Hey, Paul."
Hmm.
Do you have a joke?
No, man. Not this week. How about you?
Well, I do. I don't really, but I will say this is a good one for our users, listeners. I learned this one on the Archie Bunker. Hang on. I'm really not that drunk.
That's what every drunk person says.
Yeah. I'm not that drunk. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I need to take a breath because I had a million thoughts run through my head all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we were in the car the other day, and I don't know if you remember this one from All in the Family, but to think that you would learn this lesson from All in the Family is kind of interesting.
Mm.
But I thought, well, let's run a little test and see how open-minded we're raising our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled this riddle out of my little satchel. And it was. And our, hey, listeners, maybe you'd like to play along. All right, there's a horrible car accident. Right? A boy and his father are in the car accident.
Uh-huh.
Ambulance runs them to the hospital. They, the father is dead on arrival. The boy needs surgery immediately. The surgeon is called, the on-duty surgeon is called over and says, this boy needs surgery immediately. Surgeon looks at the boy and says, I can't operate on this boy. This is my son. How is that possible? And then you kind of go, who is the surgeon? So our kids, to their credit, said, oh, well, that, obviously, the dad wasn't really dead. It was an adopted kid, and the biological father. They go into all these complicated parental arrangements, right? And we're like, nope, kid's not adopted. Biological, biological son of the dad and biological son of the surgeon. We go on for 10 minutes, and I'm like dropping hint. Like they're going, oh, I get it. The dad's gay, and no, I told you. Biological, both parents, biological parents. They're like, well, how can that be? They're like, we go on and on and on. Finally, I go, so this boy had a dad. He also had a mother. And they're like, oh, the surgeon was his mom. I'm like, I look at Constance. I'm like, we have failed as parents.
Yeah.
And so Simone's been coming up with variations on that.
Mm.
Native Americans, lizards, birds, all sorts of like. And so the big Indian and the little Indian. I'm like, okay.
Well, that's good, though, that she's doing that. Because she's actually, it's like, you know, you learn something and then you try to apply it to various other situations. So that's, you know, that's all part of the creative process. So, you know, that's cool that she's actually trying.
It's true. And if you want to hear more about the creative process, tune in to Rough Draft Show on Facebook. And if you want to hear some true professionals do a show, stay tuned and don't click because Do It Indie Radio Hour is next with MP Peppermint Mocha. MP, right. MP Pepper Mocha, and Tolan. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Benson. This is very important. Don't forget, nothing you just heard was true.
I started as an altar boy, working at the church, learning all my holy moves, doing some research, which led me to a cash bar. Labeled Children's Fund. I'd leave the change and tuck the bills inside my cummerbund. I've got a part-time job at my father's carpet store, laying tackless stripping and housewives by the score. I loaded up their furniture and took it to Spokane and auctioned off every last Naugahyde divan. I'm very well acquainted with the seven days sins. I keep a busy schedule, trying to fit them in. I'm proud to be a glutton, and I don't have time for sloth. I'm greedy and I'm angry and I don't care who I cross. I'm Mr. Bad Example, intruder in the dirt. I like to have a good time, and I don't care who gets hurt. I'm Mr. Bad Example, take a look at me. Sold all my clients to bleed insanity, then worked in hairy placement, swindling.
I threw away the fortune I made transplanting hair. I put my last few francs down on a prostitute who took me up to her room to perform the flag salute. Whereupon I stole her passport and her wig and headed for the airport and a midnight flight you did. And 14 hours later I was down in Adelaide looking through the wand at sipping Foster's in the shade. I opened up an agency somewhere down the line to hire aboriginals to work the opal mines. But I attached their wages and took a whopping cut and whisked away their workman's comp and pauperized the law. Time and I don't care who gets hurt. I'm Mr. Bad Example. Take a look at me. I'll live to be 100 and go down in infamy. I bought a first class ticket on Malaysian Air and landed in Sri Lanka, none the worse for wear. I'm thinking of retiring from all my dirty deals. I'll see you in the next life. Wake me up for meals.
Ah, bullshit.